Isn't that awesome? Am I a little loud here, Derek, or is that okay?
You're okay.
Boy, great to see you all, precious people of God. Okay, welcome to Agathos Church. So, we're a Bible-believing church where the Bible comes alive. Woohoo! I don't want to do the Bible that doesn't come alive. Thanks. I'm going to need it in a second. Thank you. Okay, so we preach the gospel everywhere, disciple nations, cast out demons, prophesy destiny, and speak with new tongues. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, protected from harm, supernaturally protected from harm. It's a good thing. And we lay hands on the sick who recover. That's our church's mission statement, effectively. We could word it a few different ways. Or you could just say, if someone said, what's your church's mission statement? Tell them to turn to Matthew 28 and Mark 16. The great co. It's a problem for me. I don't feel good about having a mission statement for our church separate of the commission that my Lord gave us. We've been co-missioned. He said, this is my mission. Do you want to partner with me in it?
Yeah.
We've got our mission. Okay? So praise God. All right. I've got one more testimony. I know it seems like a lot going on. Okay, here's my scripture. Rick, come on up, buddy. Guys, this, I'm going to speak to you from the Spirit for just a second. Rick reached out to me this morning on the phone. We talked on the phone, and I came to church with this constant thought in my mind, this impression, which was, Rick is the guest of honor today. I'm telling you the heart of the Father. He's the guest of honor today. And so Rick came to church. Basically, he was telling me this morning that God had been speaking to you. And he felt like he needed to come to church. Okay? And so let me read a scripture, and then I'll have Rick share what happened to him, what God did for him. Luke 15:10. Jesus said, likewise, I say to you, there is what? Joy in the presence of the angels of God. Yep, in the presence of the Lord over one sinner who repents. Okay. Why don't you share what God did for you?
All right. Good morning. Wow, I wasn't expecting this. My name is Rick, or it's Richard Cavazos, but I go by Rick. Originally, I'm from Texas. I've only been in Ohio just a few months. Don't hold that against me, please. I've had a pretty rough, crazy life, you know. I guess you could say I was abandoned by my mom when I was two. Lived at my grandmother's house, and then, you know, I was given to my aunt, my mom's sister, and I was molested at a young age by an uncle of mine, and out of anger, I started acting out, and I wound up in juvie, and I was raped while I was in there, and I had a lot of resentment towards God. I felt like God didn't care about me, I got real good at football and boxing, and turned that into a scholarship, but I was too focused on an NFL contract than to pay attention in school and college, and I wound up hurting my knee very early into my first season in college. And like most college athletes who can't compete anymore, I was written off, and I decided I was going to sell drugs, and climbed up the ladder pretty quick, and I became a pretty big trafficker of methamphetamines in the late 90s, early 2000s, and in 2003, after serving a 9-month prison sentence for tax evasion, I held my son for the first time, and he was 6 months old. And at that time, I knew I had to get out. And I got out. I bought my freedom, because when you got something like that on your hand, it doesn't wash off. And after buying my freedom, I was shot 5 times in a drive-by. And I died for 2 minutes and 17 seconds, and something weird happened. I'll have to share that another time. But when I was in the hospital, my grandmother came. And my grandma was the only person to ever care about me. She was the only person to ever read the Bible to me. And so I was telling him, because the church that my grandmother went to was called the Gothos Bible Fellowship. And she was at my hospital bed, and I remember her crying, and I remember her tears hitting my arm, and it felt like acid, like it was burning my skin. And she made me promise her that I would never go back to that life. And fast forward to today, and 3 weeks ago, I was a chef at the Sheraton in Worthington, and I lost my job due to budget cuts. And it's been kind of hard to find a new job. At first, I thought I could be picky, but now, you know, I've been trying to find a job, and my fiance actually got a kidney infection and was out of work for like 12 days, and bills just kept piling higher and higher and higher. And when I was back doing my running and gunning, I had introduced my cousin, who was 16 at the time, into that life. And his dad is a preacher, and his dad never forgave me. And I actually called him because I was, a couple weeks ago, I've been having dreams of my grandmother. Dreams of her telling me, you know, that I need to come home. She kept saying that. I just need to come home. And I called him about that, and he laughed at me and said, God's never going to hear my prayers. That I'll be going straight to hell. That I sent his son to the devil, and that that's where I'm going. And I was pretty, distraught about that. So I called my cousin a couple of days ago, and I asked him for a loan, and he offered me a way out. He said, look, man, I can give you a certain amount of money if you come to San Antonio on Monday night and do a run for me, take something to Chicago for me. And I haven't been to sleep yet, because it's just that's how big of a decision. Even just talking about it, you know, I got a gut feeling, a sick feeling in my stomach just talking about it. And so, you know, church to me is a lot of people in suits and ties and people that would never give me a second look. And I was going online because I was like, you know what? My fiance said, baby, she's at work right now. She said, just go to church. Before you make a decision, find somewhere to go. And I went online, and I was looking through, and I had to check my eyes for a minute because I saw this church, Agathos. And I laughed, and I thought, okay, well, my grandma's trying to tell me something. And I called, and I left a message because I wanted to know if it was okay for a guy like me to come to church. And I told him all I have is sweatpants because I got interviews. I can't afford to go to a laundry right now. I'm just embarrassed. And I came in, and right away he comes and greets me, and it looks like he swallowed a light bulb. It's bright, so bright. And it was kind of intimidating because, I mean, I just took a shower, but I felt dirty. I felt like I just came in after leaving the gym, you know? And all you people got this light around you. And y'all look bright, man. Y'all look something like almost regal, like you guys are childs of kings or something, you know? And while y'all were praising and worshiping, there was a voice in my head saying, you don't belong here. You don't belong here. You belong to me. That's all I heard. It said, you don't belong here. You belong to me. And I got up, and I was trying to leave, but it felt like something kept tugging at me. And this guy came and grabbed me, and then they prayed for me. Next thing I know, I'm on the floor, and I'm wondering what happened. Sorry.
You're good, man.
And all I know is that I came too far to turn back. And if there's one thing I got, if there's one thing that I'll always have, is my word, and I'm not breaking my word to my grandmother. Amen. No matter how low I go, I can't do it. So if you guys don't mind, an ex-football player, ex-gangster, whatever you want to call me, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know what the word family really means. And like I was telling him, one thing that I would want more than anything is a mother's love, because I don't know what that is. And I asked Jesus to, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior this morning. And he said I was baptized by the Holy Spirit, and I just I just want to thank you guys. Thank you all for taking me for who I am, because I ain't much right now. And thank you.
Okay, guys, let's show the Father's heart right now.
Yeah.
Let's show the Father's heart right now. So two ways to do it. Either you can come lay hands on Rick, or you can just applaud again would be another thing. Thank God. Angels in heaven are worshiping right now, saying, thank you, Lord. Okay, yeah, let's do this. Anybody who feels, you don't all have to, but anybody feels to, just come lay hands on Rick so he can feel the expression of the family's love for him, the family of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. That's good. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That like made my month. Guys, I live for that stuff. You do too. There's nothing greater. Nothing greater. Nothing greater. Okay. Well, it's real good. Thank you, the three of you who heard the Holy Ghost about teaching about that scripture I gave from John 16 on demand as something due to you. Don't beg the Father. If you didn't hear that teaching, I gave it, I don't know when, November, December, look online. It's good. I got this revelation from the Lord. Other people have gotten it too. It turns out here E.W. Kenyon teaches it, which is beautiful. But the word for ask in the New Testament, like ask and it shall be given to you, actually means to demand as something due to you. And then there's a historically confusing set of scriptures in John 16 where it says, in that day you will ask nothing in my name, but ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. And it's like, you said I wouldn't ask anything, but then you told me to ask. What's the confusion? The two Greek words. The one says, in that day you'll beg nothing in my name. You'll ask nothing as a favor. Oh, please, as a favor, would you do this, even though it's not in our relational bank account, that you would do this for me? And then it says, no. In that day, after I've risen from the grave, Jesus is saying, you will demand as something due to you, and it will be given to you, and it will bring glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? So we're hearing that this morning, which is beautiful. I had 4 pages of notes. I was so excited to teach about that. Another time. Okay? But I want to tell you this, there's an air of financial breakthrough around about the church right now. I'm just telling you what's coming up in prayer time, some testimonies, also some needs. You realize how the kingdom is, right? Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Analogously, where need abounds, grace abounds all the more. And so when I'm seeing some financial needs around about the church, do you know what that means to me? God's about to do something financially. You might say, oh, that's just wishful thinking. Well, okay, but for me, it's going to work. You can decide if it's going to work for you, okay? And the other thing is, even if it were wishful thinking, Abraham taught us how to have faith. He hoped against hope. When you have hope, when there is no reason for hope, you hope against hope. So what I'm telling you is there's an air of financial breakthrough around about the church right now. And I'm telling you, there's a season to press into, and it's so interesting to me that I'm teaching on ecclesia and financial breakthrough. I'm teaching on what is church, actually, and financial breakthrough. Because when I started this message series on ecclesia, I was acutely aware that this was going to be a little bit of a different message series. You guys with me? I've started the message. Hello. Okay. Now, as a pastor, I lead people into the rest of God, the peace of God, the grace of God. That's like the overarching thing. It's the gospel, right? But as a pastor, I've got 3 parts to my job description that I'm aware of scripturally. Feed, lead, protect. It's on my wall. Feed, lead, protect. Feed, lead, protect. 90% of what I do is feed. Well-fed sheep don't get sick, generally, right? He satisfies our mouth with good things. He restores our youth as the eagles. That's a good scripture if you need to eat better food. But it's true spiritually as well. What you eat, you are what you eat. What you're meditating on, what you're chewing on, becomes who you are. And so it's important as a pastor that I feed well, because that'll take care of 90% of the pastoral needs, roughly. I mean, the vast majority will be taken care of by people being well fed spiritually. Do you get what I'm saying? Because I spend almost all my time and energy there, you could almost forget that I'm supposed to have two other roles. For instance, if someone came into the body and started sowing backbiting sort of comments and gossiping and doing all this sort of thing, you're going to see a different side of my pastorate come out. It's called the protect function. It's called the Papa Bear anointing. It's called the speak the truth in love. And that's going to stop right now. Do you understand? And if all you see is the feed function, because that does 90% of the work, you could be surprised by the protect function if it comes out, but it's been in the job description the whole time.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been needed. Here's another one, the lead function. He leads me beside what? Still waters. Pastors, shepherds, right? Psalm 23, the sheep not only ate, but they also took them to new pastures. Sometimes you need to be brought to a new pasture to find new food. You have to be led to a new pasture. That's different than just eating. Being fed is stuff being put before you. Sometimes being led means being taken to a new spot so that you can be fed again. I'm aware when I started this sermon series, this is a leadership sermon series. I'm feeding you some. I'm leading you actually. You might not experience it yet from the first sermon that I've done, and you might not even experience it this one, but I know where it's going. It's a leadership sermon series. And I'm kind of warning you because your tendency is going to be to think, what my pastor does is feed me. Now, you're not thinking like that, but that's how you're going to think. And it's good that I would feed you well. Right? Rich fare. And you surely have given me that gear to work with. But there's going to be a moment in this sermon series for probably each of us in here where you're going to feel like this is what he's talking about. It's going to ask something of me. It's going to demand something of me. Uh-oh. It's going to require something of me. That's the nature of leadership. We didn't just get a Savior, we got a Lord. And so if you want to be led by God, you have to give him the lordship function. And so Jesus is the chief shepherd, I'm just a shepherd. He's the chief shepherd, I'm a shepherd, okay? So if I shepherd you well, it leads you to the chief shepherd. But I'm still a shepherd of this body. And so I'm going to be not just feeding you in this sermon series, I'm going to be leading you. This series is going to cost you something. And you're going to thank me for it.
Amen.
Now, but listen, because I'm aware that it's going to cost you something, I've been thinking, Lord, there's something about finances that has to come with this ecclesia message. And I figured it was going to be a this, then a that, like ecclesia, then finances or something. Well, here, just the Lord keeps doing it where I keep teaching finances at the start of the ecclesia message. And like I said, it was kind of covered today with the demand thing, but I want to tell you that there's an era of financial breakthrough. Okay, let me just do one part of this. Turn with me to Psalms 35:27. Now listen, the financial breakthrough that I talked about last time, I gave you guys a supernatural strategy for financial breakthrough. What was it? Do you remember? What's that? Increase your offerings, right? Do you remember from 2 Corinthians, he gets seed to the sower and bread for food. Seed to the sower, bread for food. And I gave you guys a supernatural strategy. It's so simple that you almost miss it. If you get seed, you also get bread. If you get seed, you also get bread. If you get seed for sowing, you also get bread. So if you want more bread, make a sowing goal. Lead your bread with your seed. If you lead your bread with your seed, you'll end up with more bread and you'll end up with more seed because he'll multiply your seed for sowing. And increase your harvest of righteousness. I'm good with more harvest of righteousness. I'm also good with more bread. And you might say, no, not me. I only increase my sowing so I get more seed. For more sowing, I'm religious. Well, you might not be very scriptural. Let's look at Psalms 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. He delights in the prosperity of his servant. I was going to teach on this a lot, and maybe I'll come back to it. Now watch this. Remember last time was about increasing your offerings. I'm giving you another supernatural financial strategy. Sarah, go ahead and put up slide 2, if you would. This is just a schematic of this verse. It's a purple one with no X's. God's delight is in what? The prosperity of his? Okay, watch this. Okay, put up the next one, Sarah. If you become unaware of God's delight in you, if you become unaware or are unaware of how much God delights in you, you will block his prosperity in your life. Giving and reaping, sowing and reaping, strategy 1. Strategy 2, and I'll unpack it maybe more next time, is to know just how much God delights in you. It will break the entire religious thing right off of it. A lot of people struggle to say, oh, is this just about prosperity of money? No, shalom in the Old Testament, it's peace, it's everything good that you could ever want. Sozo in the New Testament, it's deliverance, it's salvation, it's everything good that you could possibly want. 3 John chapter or verse 2, I think, is something like that. Beloved, I pray that you would prosper in all things, even as your soul prospers. How many things are you supposed to prosper in? All things. And those are all the things that God delights in you prospering in. Okay. Now, we'll work with that more maybe next time. Here's what I want to emphasize about that. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. This is why I'm saying I know I'm in a leadership series here. I'm in a series that's going to move you somewhere or ask you to move your feet to somewhere to go into new territory, and it's going to cost you something, okay? And I believe God is lining this thing up that I'm teaching about finances. I'm teaching about finances concurrently because this is how he is. He doesn't cost you something without providing for that something. Okay. In Nehemiah chapter 5, they've rebuilt the wall, right? It's almost done at this point. And right at the beginning, it says there's a great outcry amongst the people. The people have been doing great work. They had a mind to work. They are rebuilding the wall. They are doing the work of God, the wall around Jerusalem. They were doing the work of God. But a great outcry came up, and they said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore, let us get grain. Do you know what they're saying here? We need more food. We've been doing the work, but let us get grain. We need food. In other words, in the colloquial or that we'd say now, I need some dough. Do you get it? Okay. Next, there are some who also said, we have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine. So this group of people saying, we've got a problem with our mortgage. The next group of people says, we've borrowed money for the king's tax. So you've got people who need more dough, need help with their mortgage, and need help with taxes. Do you see what's happened here? They were doing the work of the Lord, but they ran into financial trouble. Matthew 6:33. I've talked with you guys about this before. What's it say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, you guys remember Matthew 6, right before Matthew 6:33, it says that the Gentiles, how do the Gentiles operate? They seek after all those things, right? They don't seek God, they just seek all the things. They say, okay, God, or they don't say God at all. See, it's not even in my paradigm to do it otherwise, right? But they're, what shall I eat? What shall I wear? What shall I drink? Right? And they're not trying to be bad, they just don't have a provider. So they're frantic. trying to provide for themselves. You might say, well, that person looks wealthy over there. If you knew what was going on inside their heart, they're probably frantic too. Now, Jesus said, don't be like that though, but instead do what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Hello, are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Okay. I've told you guys this story before. Brad was taking me witnessing, summer 2013. I needed a break. I was working 50 or 60 hours a week at school, between school and the church, something like that. I needed a break over the summer. He's taking me witnessing over the summer. I'm getting ready one day to go witnessing, and I tell the Lord, I say, God, I need a break. Like, I don't need to go witnessing right now. I need a break. And here's the other thing. I had so much fear of man on me, the thought of going witnessing at malls was, like, not a fun time. So because of that, it like really felt like I need a break. I know I've told this before, and some of you know this story, but you need to, I feel like I need to say it again. But it hit me one day as I was getting ready thinking I need a break. This is backwards of Matthew 6:33. I'm saying I need a break, so I'm not going to go witnessing. He said, be about my business and I'll give you a break. For the next week, you ever have this happen where a scripture then just, you become pregnant with it? It was just exploding in my heart. I couldn't get away from it. So a week later, I call Brad. I say, Brad, Matthew 6:33 is exploding my heart. And I tell him everything I'm thinking about it just to get his input. 10 minutes later, I stop talking. He says, well, Peter, let me just say that if you latch onto that verse like a bulldog and don't let go of it, you're going to walk on water. That was his phrase. And he said, I've seen so many of my friends get serious about Matthew 6:33, and God has given them, every single one of them, to the T, a supernatural financial strategy. And he said, I wish I could tell you what your supernatural financial strategy is, but I can't because it's specific to you. But he has one for you, or else he would have never told you not to serve mammon, but to only serve him, because God said you cannot serve both God and mammon, which means that he's got a supernatural financial strategy for every one of his children. I got off the phone with Brad. I was so stirred up in faith. What I did is I cried out at the top of my lungs. I was on Bethel Road heading east on Bethel Road around Reed, and I cried out at the top of my lungs, show me how! Show me the money. That's what I was praying. You know what? If you take the religious lens right off of it, it's show me the money. Show me the supernatural financial strategy. That's perfect. That's what I was saying. Show me the supernatural financial strategy. Within 2 or 3 weeks, our friend Mark Crawford from Australia is in. He's a prophet. And he came in and he says, you're going to have a career transition, this, this, and this. He didn't know that I was thinking about this. It's like, interesting. That whole year, Mark was encouraging me. He said, Peter, keep declaring you're going to transition well. Don't do it in the flesh. June 14th, 2014, Joshua Weir, our former pastor, calls me up, leaves a message. I remember the day I got the message. He said, you're going to be offered a job. I had been offered a job. It's going to be this sort of a job. It's the sort of job I'd been offered. If you haven't been offered it already, it's going to be very soon. I had already been offered it. He said, the question is, do you want it? I didn't really feel like I'd had a choice, but that word caused me to step back, and 30 minutes later, I realized I don't want that job. And a new thought popped into my head. What if I could go like part-time at church and part-time at the school I was at and do some consulting? And I thought, well, I'll have to talk with Brad to see if he'd want me to come on like part-time like that or whatever. And I thought, it's Saturday. He's sermon prepping. I'm not going to call him right now. 10 seconds later, phone rings. Who is it? Brad. I figured I better tell him. He said, that's interesting. So a week later, he had written up, you know, what that could look like. We did it. And catch this. That whole year, the Lord had been speaking to us about the Appalachian Trail. Me and Megan, we'd have monthly financial meetings roughly. And the Lord would say, you know, in the Appalachian Trail, you pack your packages and you send them to the post offices ahead of yourself before you go hiking. So that as you hike along the way, you get these care packages you've already sent yourself with all your food and supplies, new hiking boots even. So we had been saving money that year because the Lord was speaking to us, send your packages ahead. We'd been saving money that year. So we built up some savings. Good thing, because the summer we transitioned, it was like really good because consulting was coming through. But like consulting, those of you who run a business, you know how this is. You get like paid like 4 months later sometimes. It's like the craziest thing. It's like, I'm doing all this work. This is great. I'll get the money in the new year. You know, it's like really a long time sometimes. So anyway, so it's good that we had sent this money ahead. And it was a stretch for me that summer as I was making that transition. I remember I was up at your parents' house in Youngstown. I was crying out to the Lord. I said, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be doing this, but this is, you know, I've got mouths to feed and this sort of thing. Like Megan doesn't work. It's just me. And I was going to tell you today, you know, we're a one income family, but praise God, we're a three or four income family and Megan doesn't work. You get what I'm saying? Cast your bread upon the water. Yeah, many breads upon the water, you don't know what'll return to you. I'm telling you, it is, I'm not saying this as an opinion, it is God's will that you would have multiple streams of income. It's scriptural that you would have multiple streams of income. You might say, I don't have time for a second stream of income. Ask God for a supernatural financial strategy. Now, some people say, well, I don't need I'm good financially. But I'm going to ask you, if you're good financially, are you good in terms of time? We were fine financially when I cried out about Matthew 6:33. What we weren't fine about was time. 60 hours a week is no sort of good life. Doesn't leave room to go witnessing. Doesn't leave room for me to drop things at the drop of a hat and go help someone or minister to someone. Doesn't leave room for me to minister to someone that I meet somewhere. Doesn't leave room for any of that. Doesn't leave room for me to spend extra time with my family, all of which is godly. So what I'm saying is, you might think that you've got your good place financially, but are you also in a good place with time? Because you might think, I don't have anything stirring in my heart for hope for finances. I'm good financially. Praise God. But are you good in terms of time too? Because you should be good in terms of both. Like not should, like you should feel bad if you're not, but I'm just saying that's God's will for you. Yeah. It's God's will for you that you'd be good in terms of both. And praise God. So anyway, that summer the Lord spoke to me. I was like, Lord, you know, it's just me. Like this has to work. I've got kids and a family. I'm not 24, single, and like can live on nothing. You know, and so anyway, I'm telling the Lord this, and here's what he speaks to me clear as day. He said, if you'll take care of my people, I'll take care of your family. I said, Lord, man, that gives them a raw deal. We get the better deal on that one. But this is what he'll do with you too. If you'll take care of his business, he'll take care of your business, and you will get the better deal. You will get the better deal. And this is what Matthew 6:33 says. If you want a supernatural financial strategy, seek first the kingdom. I'm serious. When you sought first the seed of sowing, what do you get? Bread for food. If you seek first the kingdom, do you know what you get? All the other things. Do you watch how that comes along? It's a tag along. You seek first the kingdom, you get all the other things. You seek first the seed and your giving goals, you'll get all the bread. You seek first the kingdom, you get all the other things. The Gentiles have it all backwards. They seek first all the things and forget to seek the kingdom. Let it not be so in the church. Seek first the kingdom, he'll give you all the other things. And look, in Nehemiah, this is that thing, right? Where they are having this problem. They're saying, we're doing the work of God, but we need dough and we need mortgages and we to paid for and we need taxes. We've got mortgage issues, tax issues, and food issues. And it was inhibiting the work of the kingdom. I'm starting to think that perhaps God is as smart as the businesses of the world. You know how like the businesses of the world understand that any work that needs done requires resources? You know how the businesses of the world know that any work that needs done requires time? Is it possible that our Heavenly Father could be as insightful as Google about giving their people time to be able to do the work, finances to be able to do the work? Maybe God will get that smart someday that he'll figure that out on your behalf. Until then, pray though, because maybe someday he'll be smart enough that he'd actually resource you to do the work he's asked us to do. Do you realize how asinine it is for me to even consider for a second that if I step out into the work of God that he will not provide for me? When I was doing this transition, I remember one time I told Brad, I said, I'm a little bit concerned, and he challenged me a little bit. He pushed back. He told me over the phone, he said, Peter, what you're saying is almost claiming that God would not provide for you if you were about his work. At the time, it was like, yeah, I don't want to do that. Guys, it's insanity. God is way better than Google or the best employers of the world, all of whom know that the work that they need done requires time and money. I'm not in full-time ministry. Do you know what I'm in? I'm in full-time kingdom. This means all of you can be in the same thing. That's why he said, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. He did not tell me to seek first the ministry, and all these things would be added to me. I'll get there. What's the kingdom? What's the kingdom? Okay, Rick, stand up for 1 second, buddy. Thank you. I know you got more stage time than you're expecting today. What's happened today in Rick is the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Okay? That's all. Thank you. Thank you. You made my sermon a lot easier today. That's the kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of the world. Kingdom used 155 times in the New Testament. Jesus says, my kingdom's not of the world. The kingdom of God came near to those who had demons cast out of them. Okay? That's what that happened to you today. Isn't that awesome? That voice you're hearing? Right? You got...
It's funny you say that, because when I was repeating the words after you, it felt like something was in my throat, tugging at the words, not letting me say them.
The words of being born again.
Being born again.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like, I actually felt like something, I can't explain it, but it's like, I felt like something was like somebody just reached out and just grabbed something out of me. And I just remember that. I mean, I remember sitting there and you guys were praying around me, and then just, it seemed like the next time I opened my eyes, I felt like I was 100 pounds lighter. And yep. Like, I was on the floor and I was looking at the guy with the dreadlocks and I was like, what happened? Did I fall? Did I trip and fall or something? And he was like, no, man, the Holy Spirit got you. And it's crazy that you said that.
Yeah.
Because, wow. And all this time, I had felt like, I even expressed to my fiance, I felt like, you know, I told her, I was like, you know, I feel like maybe there's a demon inside me, because the more I try to do good, the more, you know, it tries to take me away. But I mean, I'm a lot stronger than that demon. You know what I'm saying? I'm from Texas. I'll whoop that demon's butt.
Yeah. So catch this. So this is the kingdom of God. There's a kingdom of darkness that Rick had been in before. He had promised his grandma to never be back in it. He was having an opportunity to get back into it. It was haunting him, the opportunity. Feels like he needs to come to a church. We happen to have the same name as his grandma's church, right? Calls me. I happen to see the message on the morning where I'm still wanting to do some sermon prep, right? I happen to see the message. I'm like, I've got to call him back right now. Call him back. We have a great connection on the phone. He follows through and comes here. He comes here. He's back there feeling that tension, like something's telling me I got to leave, but something's holding me here. My wife comes up and says, I think Rick's ready for some ministry now. Right? So I grab Brian and say, hey, let's go pray for Rick. So we come back, then we start praying for him, and Daniel joins in too. So Rick repents, receives salvation, gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, is speaking in tongues, and I had already told Daniel and Ryan, I said, you see that demon leave? The demon got cast out. And that's what he just said. 100 pounds came off of you, and that voice that had been choking him to keep him from confessing the Lord Jesus was gone, and it had gotten ripped out. That is the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. And here's what the Bible says in Luke 16. Since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom has been preached. Amen, amen. Since the days, you can keep clapping, but since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom's been preached. Before that, it was the law and the prophets, but since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom's been preached, and everybody is pushing into it. Everybody's trying to get in, and that's why you need to have a gate. That's why Jesus said, I'm the gate, I'm the way, because everybody's pushing in, pushing in, pushing in, pushing in. I've got news for you. Jesus came to preach the kingdom. If you look at what the gospel is, it's the gospel of the kingdom. Later on in Paul's letters, he also calls it the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace, the gospel of grace. But it's the gospel of the kingdom. What's the message Jesus preached? Kingdom. What's the message he told his disciples to preach? Kingdom. What's the message he would say would be preached until the end and then the end would come? Kingdom. The kingdom of God is a clash of kingdoms. It's light and darkness. Darkness stands no chance. The kingdom looks like demons being cast out. I'll read to you. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God has come upon you. And heal the sick there and say to them, kingdom of God has come near you. But if you cast out demons with the finger of God, it doesn't require God's whole hand to cast out a demon. Jesus starts waving a finger. Them 1,000 demons start coming out of the guy with the legion of demons. If I cast out a demon by the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. This is the kingdom of God that causes the dead to be raised, the sick healed, the demons cast out, families restored, gives safety from bad weather. Do you remember the storm in the boat? Causes provision for taxes. Remember the fish? Gives wisdom, which all the beauty that wisdom brings into every situation. Jesus always had a word fitly spoken like an apple of gold and settings of silver. And the kingdom is where the reign of the king is. And another evidence of the kingdom, sinners repented. You've got tax collectors that say, look, I'm going to give it back. I'm going to make it right. Sinners repented. Cities transformed. This is the kingdom. What is the message of the ecclesia? The kingdom. What is the message of the ecclesia? The kingdom. What's the message of the ecclesia? The kingdom. Okay, that's all for today. All right, if anybody else needs ministry, come on up. Rick will pray for you in Jesus' name. And also see Brian. Bless Rick.
So guys, we're going to do prayer for anyone who wants prayer about anything, but I just want to say about this financial message. Everyone in here is at a different spot in your financial journey, both in the physical, but also in what you understand about the kingdom laws of that. So I just want to invite you that anyone who has a question about where you are, like, what do I do first? Where am I in this trajectory? What is the next thing that I need to be doing? I want to specifically, if that catches your attention, come and talk to someone about it, because there's a lot of people in here that have gone quite a ways down this journey. None of us are like arrived or anything, but yes, we bless this, Lord. We seal it in Jesus' name. We bless this body in Jesus' name to go forth and do the work of the kingdom every day of their lives. Amen.